Ramble.
Hello. Welcome to this week's episode of You Can Sit With Us.
Woo!
I'm Matt. I'm sitting here with Maggie.
Hello.
And Rainey.
Hi.
And today we are delusional. We're talking about delusion. Self-delusion, other people's delusion, drag delusion, everything delusion.
Yes.
Yes. What does delusion mean to you, Maggie? When you hear
delusion,
what does it mean?
Are you asking me like what I am delusional about or what it means to me in general?
First, what it means to you.
To me, it's just something that you believe in that isn't necessarily true.
Okay.
What is it to you?
The dictionary definition of delusion.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of alliteration there. Is a false belief or judgment about external reality held despite incontrovertible held despite incontrovertible evidence to the contrary.
Okay.
This is all in your mind.
Okay.
What you think in your mind about the outside world.
Okay. And it doesn't, it says, this says a false belief. So it's already proven false.
Yes, exactly. So there's evidence that it's not true.
Mm, okay.
But you think it's true.
Okay.
You've convinced yourself that it's true.
Mm.
But I think that brings up an interesting point because you have an internal reality and then an external reality.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so a lot of times they're like incongruent.
Right.
About what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But I feel like you have to believe in delusions to get anything done. I feel like things, do you agree with that?
Yes. I think everyone has to have some form of self-delusion in order to like achieve things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think you do need to be realistic, but you also need to be delusional.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
agreed.
What are you delusional about?
What am I delusional
about? Or what have you been delusional about recently?
I feel like, okay, not recently, but I think that I've always held the belief that I would be a good singer or play an instrument if I had the right training.
Mm.
And I think that's a delusion. Well, I like really hope that's true, but I do genuinely believe that I am tone deaf. But I like to tell myself that it's because I didn't have the right training and that's why I'm not a pop star.
Ooh.
What about you?
Ooh. Okay. Okay. My delusion, especially recently, has been that I'm still in my mind like 27.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I still in my mind feel like I'm younger than I am.
I experience
and that's
that
delusional.
A lot.
I'm definitely not. Like literally this morning I tweaked my back getting out of bed. You know what I mean? Like it was like not good.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen at 27. You know?
It could have happened at I think I'm still 26. That's like my ideal. That's what how old I think I am.
Yeah, right? Like in your mind you're like delusional about your age. And like I feel like I'm delusional to the point that you do things to your external body to like make yourself look more that age. Like I just got microneedling at the beginning of this year, you know, cause it helps your skin look younger and stuff. So like, I would say that the age delusion has gone an extra step. You know what I mean?
You're like,
it's like trying to force the external reality to meet my internal reality.
Baby soft skin. Always.
Baby soft skin.
Baby soft skin.
Right. I mean, that's delusional.
Yeah.
Like I'm never going to be 27 again.
No.
You're like, nope.
You're going to be an old man. Embrace those wrinkles, Matt. You're wrinkling quicker at the speed.
Wrinkling quicker. Right?
Yeah.
What is a delusion that Zach has? Or that you think Zach has?
He thinks he is an A-plus dancer. I think he does have good rhythm, but I don't think that he, I mean, I've seen like professional, we've all seen professional dancers. We've all seen Step Up 1, 2, 3.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think.
Bring it on. Yeah.
I don't think he's at that level, but I think he, in his mind, when he's on the dance floor, has to channel that energy
I
or
see.
Else he wouldn't dance.
Right.
But I think he firmly believes in his heart that he is Channing Tatum. What is a delusion Eugene has?
I think Eugene is so hard on himself that he is delusional about his own success already. You know what I mean? He's already accomplished so much and he has so much going on and all these projects that he's working on. You know, he's already found so much success. But his delusion is that he doesn't have that yet. Right? When it's like everyone else sees him as that already. You know, even like his family, like his parents, everyone around him does, but he doesn't yet.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the opposite of what we were talking about of like delusion helping you achieve things.
It's actually like it's getting in his way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Rainey, do you have any delusions? Self-delusions?
Let's see. Do I have any delusions? I feel like,
is there anyone that you believe that if you met them, they would fall in love with you?
Exactly. That's literally what I was just about to talk about. I met this guy recently and I was like, he's in love with me. Yeah. And I was like, I know that's crazy.
But I feel like I feel like I've heard you say like, if I met Tom Holland, he would fall.
Actually not Tom Holland, Timothy for sure.
Tom Holland.
I actually think, he might be like, she's kind of funny, but I don't think he would be swayed.
But Timothy.
Timothy, I've already dated Timothy practically. I've dated the version of Timothy, like the valedictorian, like annoying, like just sniffly, like.
Sniffly?
He's always like. All nasally.
Oh my God.
But yeah, definitely a lot of times I'm just like, whenever there's an awkward situation, I'm like, they're in love with me. You know, whenever it's like, oh, this person's acting kind of weird. I'm like, okay, well, he probably has a crush on me. I don't know.
Sorry. And that's like, what so helps pretty. You get through the situation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Okay. A coping mechanism.
Yes.
Right.
It's that's a way good. Better way to live.
Agreed. You don't want to be like, okay, this is just awkward. What do I do?
Yeah. Cause then you're like, too much in your own head. But I feel like if you switch that in your brain, you're like, I'm actually killing it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer in fake it till you make it.
I mean,
and I feel like that takes a lot of delusion to fake it.
Yeah. I feel like delusion is like on par with manifestation. And like if you manifest something, you're already like putting it into words and you're that much closer.
Mm-hmm. Even though I did see an article recently that talked about how when you tell other people like your goals, it actually delays you achieving your goals.
Interesting.
Because then you're thinking about how you look to other people about you achieving those goals instead of spending the time doing it. So if you keep them to yourself and achieve them, you'll have better satisfaction and you'll be further along than telling everyone.
Interesting.
And trying to go for it. So it's also about like self-accountability versus like,
I thought by telling people you are have more accountability because if you see that person again, they ask what's the progress and you're more inclined to have more to report
maybe
on.
It's different for
I think it just depends
people,
on
where people get their motivation too.
Yeah,
because some people get motivation from other people,
right?
And some people will get it from it from like within
themselves. Yeah Interesting.
Delusional.
Yeah. But if you think of like very successful people, they had to have been a little bit delusional. I just think of like triathletes or like people who have made blockbuster movies. I'm sure they started somewhere where people thought they were delusional if they had told them like, I'm going to win an Oscar one day. And look at them now.
Look at them now. They had to start somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in fake it till you make it. You just got to try it because otherwise if you don't fake it, you'll never try it. Right.
And if you can't trick yourself, not trick yourself, but make yourself believe, then why would other people believe in you?
Right.
So do it for yourself.
That's true. But you have to do it in a positive way. You know, be delusional, but be delusional the right way. Mantra to live by.
Elaborate on that. What do you mean like in a positive way?
Well, you don't
want to
be delusional.
And it affect other people negatively?
Yeah. Or it affect you negatively, right? And also that, you know, it's not, your internal reality is not matching your external reality and it's holding you back from doing things. Rather than when your internal reality doesn't match your external reality and then you make it work in your favor.
Yeah.
That's the delusion we want.
That's, yeah, that's what we're striving for.
Yeah, more self-confidence, not less self-confidence.
Yes.
Yes.
Always journey.
So we'll keep that in mind. because we got a tip for you, Maggie.
Mm.
Don't be delusional. Don't be delusional. Don't be delusional, Maggie. Copper hair is real. Do you remember when we had a copper hair conversation?
Yeah, I've always wanted to go.
How you were going
to
go copper?
I want to go copper.
Okay, so this is a great tip from one of our listeners.
Okay.
She wrote in to tell you how you can go copper. How to make your internal reality an external reality.
Tell me.
Just letting Maggie know that an alternative for copper hair is to use henna.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't work like regular chemical dyes, so your hair might hold on to it better. It's also non-damaging, and the color becomes more vibrant the more it's repeated.
Oh.
It only costs about $5 an application.
Okay.
And it's very user-friendly because it doesn't create harsh lines.
Hmm.
This user does it once a month, and they've done it for years.
Ooh.
But there's two big caveats. Once you start with henna, you can't really go back to chemical dyes.
Okay.
Because then you risk green hair, a green hair situation.
Huh.
I guess it's like
a chemical reaction or something.
Yeah. And or unless you strip your hair before you do chemical dyes, which is really not good for your hair. Or you have to grow your hair out. So it's a pretty permanent decision and not recommended for someone who likes to change their hair color a lot.
Mm.
Which I feel like I haven't really seen you change your hair color.
No.
Much.
Not really.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to, but I have pretty pretty stark eyebrows. I feel like that's like the anytime I want to like change my eyebrows, I was like, but my eyebrows. I know people dye their eyebrows, but.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Or you could be like drag queens and just shave them off and then wear whatever eyebrow you want.
I like my eyebrows. Yeah. I like them, but they are just like very dark. But the anyway, go
on. Consideration two is that you can't lighten your hair at all.
Mm.
So for darker hair, you may want to put highlights in before doing henna in order to create dimension.
Oh, cool.
It also does a great job of covering grays. And then your grays look like natural highlights.
Oh, smart.
This sounds like a win-win. I think you need to try henna. Just try once.
Try it? Yeah. If it's not permanent, it washes out. Yeah. Oh, I'm kind of down.
Over time, you know?
Where do I feel like I need to go to someone who like specializes in henna. And I wonder if there's like different tones. Yeah. I have so many questions. I'll try and find out.
Yeah. You can, maybe this listener will give us more information.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie wants to know more about henna. She's intrigued.
Yeah. I'm intrigued.
She's ready for the copper hair revolution.
Yes. I'm ready.
It is 2024. It's your year. It's your time.
Mm-hmm.
Your year to become
I'm going to do some Photoshop and really contemplate.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
See if I can get my eyebrows to a place where I'm like confident.
I feel like you could do with copper eyebrows too.
We'll see. Or maybe not. They don't have to match, but they just have to look.
Like being the same color family.
Yeah. I'm always like envious of the people that can kind of look good in any hair color. Like I've seen platinum blonde and brown and
I've purple. Never tried to go blonde. I feel like I would look so bad.
I feel like you could go like a Sandy. I feel like you could do a Sandy.
Ugh.
I feel like you could pull it off.
Darker.
Yeah, but you also have a beard.
I feel like it would wash me out a little bit. I don't know. Anyway, we have some great stories about delusion.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is delusional groomsmen.
Okay.
So what would you do in this situation, Maggie?
Okay.
I'm getting married this summer, and as some of you know, it is stressful.
Mm.
Plus, it is a destination wedding. Like yours was, Maggie.
Okay.
To make it easier for family to attend, so my stress levels are through the roof.
Mm.
One of my fiance's friends reached out to me on Instagram to ask a question about the wedding date. He moved out of country and couldn't reach my fiance, who doesn't have social media, so he reached out to me. I answered his question and then asked, so can I put you down as confirmed to attend the wedding?
Mm-hmm.
He responded, of course. Kevin, my fiance, asked me to be a groomsman.
Okay.
Well, that was the first I'd heard of that. So I immediately went to talk to Kevin, who was just as confused as I was.
Ooh.
After much pondering, he figured out there must have been a misunderstanding. This friend had gone with my fiance on some very important wedding errands in the country where the wedding will take place.
Mm.
Since I could not be there at the time, my fiance thinks there must have been some misunderstanding around that. And somehow this guy now thinks he's a groomsman.
Awkward.
How does my fiance tell his friend nicely that he is not a groomsman? I love you.
Interesting.
She's like, I'm stressed out and I don't want any more drama. Well, weddings are dramatic.
I know.
They're just filled with drama. They're meant for drama.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Emotions are high. There's a lot of people you're responsible for. There's a lot of planning.
I
feel you, sister.
How do you un-groomsman a groomsman?
I know. I feel like it's just worth a phone call. And you don't have to deal with it. Like, you can be stressed about it, but that's his crown to bear. That's not yours.
The fiance's. Kevin's.
Yes. Yeah, don't
Kevin
let
do it.
Don't let Kevin stress. I mean, there's going to be enough for you to be stressed about. Don't let someone else's stress also stress you out.
Yeah. I mean, what if they just didn't have any?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if she has
that's an easy
a wedding party. Yeah. That's an easy out. Everyone else has removed.
No wedding party. Tell them all.
You're not invited. No wedding party.
You're invited, but you're not a groom's person.
Yeah. I feel like it's just worth a phone call to see kind of where he's at and why he thinks that. Because there's been no planning. Like, how far away is this wedding, too?
Yeah. I'm just like, how is the I'm trying to play in my mind, like, how is this conversation going to go? Right? Because if you're him on the other side of the phone and you think you're a groomsman and you're excited about it.
Yeah.
And then he calls you and is like, actually, I only have two groomsmen and you're not one of them. Right? Like, what is he going to do?
I feel like hopefully it's, I mean, the last thing you want to do is pick a fight with the bride and groom. They're under a lot of stress.
That's true. But I also feel like a lot of people, I mean, from your experience,
a lot of people get really excited. And
people give you a lot of grace around things happening with your wedding, or were they also?
I mean, for the most part, like, friends were very like nice and supportive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not even going to get into it.
There's always family drama.
It was like the closest people to me.
Yeah.
Which is like,
I feel like that's normal.
Yeah.
I feel like it always happens.
Yeah.
All the weddings, all the family is like the most
like squirrely about it.
Yeah.
But then it ended up working out in my favor. Cause like all this like the hospital stress, everyone was like, okay, how can we help? We're not going to give you strife
that's true.
Anymore.
Yeah, you had another layer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, would it be worse just to keep him?
To keep him?
Yeah, just keep him as a groomsman. Like,
I feel like it just depends. I mean, if he wants to, but I feel like you just tell your
he's willing to put
your fiance
extra work.
what's been reported to you, and then it's his thing to bear.
I would set your fiance up for success and have a talk track.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you need to have this conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the 3 points you need to hit.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how you hit them, you know, but you need to communicate these 3 things.
Because maybe like fiance is fine having him.
Obviously, there was some communication error already.
Right.
Error already.
So maybe he
by him. So
led
he,
him.
Maybe he needs a little bit of guidance on how to communicate with.
Yeah, because maybe him guy. Bringing along and doing wedding related things.
Yeah.
Caused assumptions.
Because you could. I mean, it depends how cool the guy is, but you could also be like, you can come get ready with us. You can do all this. Like, can you be my special helper for the day instead of being like a groom's person?
Right.
You know, there's another way to like posit it.
Mm-hmm. Without hurting someone's feeling. But at the end of the day, it's your wedding and you just need to advocate for what you want and what you
true.
Need. And people are there excited to support you.
That's true. At least you have a friend that's excited to support you. Like, he could be like,
no.
Yeah.
They asked me to be a groomsman, but I don't want to.
Yeah. Or you're going to cancel the wedding like the eczema girl. Remember?
Oh my gosh. That was a wild story.
Yes. Yes. The story about the girl who said that they canceled the wedding because of her bad eczema.
Oh gosh.
And it was going to look bad in pictures.
Yeah.
I would love to figure out what happened to that.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. Have your fiance talk to him. Yeah. Give him a talk track. It'll help.
A script to follow if he needs.
Yeah. And hopefully it'll all work out.
Yeah. Exciting things to come.
Because were you most stressed like right before the wedding or the day of the wedding?
I think before the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. As like
the
things
of,
were
to
coming
relinquish.
Together and like more like each contract being signed, I'd like the stress grew. And then when it finally was there, I was like, okay, everything's done.
Yeah.
We're here. And we're going to have fun because we're here. Because there was a big portion of time in January where we thought we were going to have to cancel the entire
thing.
That's
right. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't talk about that ever on the podcast, but there was a point where we were in the hospital and I was like, I think that we have to cancel everything and not get reimbursed because it's way too close.
Yeah.
And I was risky. just delusional in my head. I was like, he's gonna turn around. Like, he has to turn around. It's gonna be good.
Mm-hmm.
I have all the supplies I need. He's on antibiotics. Really, we only have to worry when he's off antibiotics. And here we go.
And it worked.
And it worked.
The delusion worked in your favor.
Yeah. There were a couple calls to his surgeon.
Yeah.
Throughout the weekend. But we did it. And he's better now.
And you're married. And we're married. And you're a senora now.
Yeah. We made it. But what a time.
So you'll make it too.
Yes, you will.
You'll make it too.
What's a wedding without a little pre-wedding stress?
So the next one is a delusional ex-bestie.
Uh-oh.
Hi, I love listening to your podcast for the advice and different perspectives y'all have on any situation without making it dark and gloomy.
Mm.
Ooh. I had a friend, Lizbeth, who I became close with after I stood up for her when some girls bullied her.
Oh.
When we were all in the same after school club. That's so sweet. Bullying is bad.
Yeah.
Don't bully. We grew very close, very fast, but I noticed things that made me uncomfortable after a year, which I brushed off saying I was overthinking it. Looking back, those things started to make me insecure and not grow comfortable in my own skin or became better than her in her eyes.
Mm.
Like she was feeling, her friend was thinking that she was better than her. She's 2 years younger, but started grad school when I took my gap year. During the gap year, I removed myself from club activities and only came back to support people directly connected to me.
Hmm.
Lizbeth simultaneously started grad school and was still heavily involved in all the club drama. She would ask me if she should go to certain events, and I always told her no because she had just complained about these people, and if she goes, then she'd feel ostracized and go home to cry after. So why would she put herself in that situation to begin with? This exact scenario happened multiple times with the same outcome. I grew exhausted because I felt pressured to get worked up every time she got worked up. I stopped talking to her when I entered a severe depressive cycle, which she knew about and wouldn't reciprocate the effort I had given her when she went through her stuff.
Mm.
And she would be dismissive, like, I have it worse. I eventually pulled myself out of depression, but had to rethink if the friendship was worth my mental health. I never talked to her again when I decided to value my peace over everyone. Since starting grad school on a clean slate and keeping the people I truly cherish, I've never felt more free and happy with so little burden on my shoulders. Like, I now get to go into situations excited for what's to come rather than dreading the littlest negative thing. But periodically, I would hear a rumor that she spread about me. The most recent was her boyfriend saying, "Your best friend," referring to me as a little bitch, unprovoked to my friend in front of their classmates. He is known to say negative things like that after listening to Lizbeth talk trash about people. Ugh. Do you think the ex-friend is toxic, or am I just being dramatic and sensitive? I want to hear about your perspectives since you have more life experiences and have met a myriad of people.
Mm.
She sounds like a bad friend.
Yeah.
Like some people,
it sounds like this person's also very empathetic, right? Mm-hmm. In that they are very supportive and kind of like take on whatever emotion the other person's putting off. So like helped her and supported her through that. And that person's not reciprocating it back. And
it's also hard because, I mean, the friend is also seems very toxic.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, if they're not bringing anything positive to you or your life, then what's
why are
the point?
You gonna surround
what's
them the point? Too? And what's you're also going to take on their stress?
Yeah.
And for what? Yeah.
For what? Exactly.
And that's like a good point to not let other people's, like, I know when you're emotionally attached to like your close friends and your close family, it's like almost natural it's like it's inevitable that you're going to take on their stress because you love and care about them.
Right.
But it's also important to know that in order to be your most supportive self to them, like, you can't take that on.
No, exactly. A lot of times you need to be the opposite. Like, I find it, especially like if Eugene's stressed and then if I get stressed, they just both build on each other. And then you both become way more stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, if one person is stressed, the other person almost needs to be de-stressed.
And be a rock.
To kind of help balance, to bring the other person's stress down.
Absolutely. I mean, that's
otherwise
like,
it just builds and builds and builds and builds.
Yeah.
You become like so anxiety ridden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's almost better, like, I don't know, in nursing and stuff like that, it's almost better to come from a place like non-emotional. Like, I feel like I'm better at supporting people that I'm not as emotionally connected to. And it's like the same reason why like doctors don't operate on like or family. Shouldn't on family members because you get like so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can think more logically and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same way, you don't need to be friends with everyone.
Yeah.
Either.
If they're not a friend to you and your friend's allowing their significant other to talk poorly about you, that's not a good friend.
No.
Yeah.
That's definitely not a good friend. And also, it's okay for friends to come in and out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sometimes it's just not meant to be friends forever.
Yeah.
Just fine.
Yeah.
You only have so much brainwave space.
Mm-hmm.
So much bandwidth to think
about. And sometimes timing is a lot of it too. Like
mm-hmm.
sometimes you lose track or lose touch with certain friends and maybe later in life you'll find each other again. And like give people grace. But right now it does not seem like that friendship is serving you in any way.
She is toxic. You should not have her in your life. I think it's a good idea. You removed yourself, but then what is she supposed to do about like her still talking smack about her and like spreading rumors?
Just know that I'm rubber, you're glue.
Water for ducks back. Water for ducks back.
Yeah.
That's hard though.
That is hard.
Especially when you're in a school environment because then everyone's still
smaller
like,
and you
so
still
insular and everyone's together and stuff.
You have to continue seeing the person. Yeah. It's so much easier when you're just removed and you're like, okay. Well,
exactly.
Yeah, I like, get to move on.
That's also a good point. Like you're in school, you're not going to be in school forever. Like
mm-hmm.
kind of once you're out of school, like that situation should disappear, right? You shouldn't be around those people anymore.
Yeah. You have a choice.
Those negative people. Yeah.
But in the meantime, I guess try your best not to let it bother you.
I'd be interested to know like, because her friend is obviously reporting this to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how did her friend react to the guy saying it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And another thing that's weird is this girl saved Lizbeth from the bullying and now Lizbeth is bullying her.
That's messed up.
So the next person who wrote in
mm-hmm.
is about delusional parents.
Yikes. Yikes. This does not sound like the fun delusion.
Yikes.
We're the positive.
I feel like none of these have been positive delusions yet. Okay. I'm an 18-year-old girl in Canada. In October, I met a guy through some mutual friends, and now we're dating. We call often and try our best to hang out as much as possible. I love his kind and goofy personality, his ability to see the best in people, his goals for the future. I love being around him. All my relationships before were situationships, where the guys were immature and obsessive, but this admittedly feels different. Mm. Also, this listener has impeccable writing and punctuation.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Like she uses semicolons.
Whoa. Love
so
a good semicolon.
Everything is going amazing and we're headed to the same university. It's not planned. It's just because it's a good university and neither of us wants to move. So the future feels good. But the only issue is my parents. My parents are more conservative than his. While he is able to tell his parents his exact relationship with me, I can only say he's a friend because that's all my parents will accept.
Oof.
I'm not really sure when they will see me as my own independent person and allow me to date. It's not like I'm diverting my focus from my studies. I'm still doing well in school. I'm also spending time with my family. My time is well balanced, but I don't know how to tell them because I don't like it when I have to lie to go on a little secret date. But I'm worried that if I tell them, they'll cut me off from him and all my other friends. What should I do? Did any of you have conservative parents?
So these are college years, going off to college.
She's about to go to college. I called it delusional parents because her parents are delusional to think that she wouldn't go date someone.
Yeah. And it seems overbearing to remove your child from friends or relationships.
I mean, how does a parent do that? They like take away your phone?
Yeah.
Like that's like very old school. Like you can't see him anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like that never works. Like literally every movie you see that they do that, it never works.
Yeah. I feel like overbearing parents will definitely backfire.
Because I'm guessing then also she'll be living at home when she goes to college. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like, right? Like she won't be like in a dorm situation.
So she can't even like keep it.
So she can't even like wait until then, you know?
Right. Because I would say, don't tell them. Don't tell them. But I mean, you're going to have to constantly be interacting with them on a daily basis.
Right.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Is there such thing as like a soft launch with parents? You start just like planting the seeds like, hey.
That's true. You could be like, so I think I really like this what's boy. His name?
Yeah.
What should I do?
Yeah.
But if you've conservative parents, like, what do you think they'll say? Like, yeah. What? I don't know. My parents were not like that. It's like, I don't have that perspective.
I definitely had strict parents at the time, but I feel like they weren't overbearing when I showed interest in somebody.
Right. Like when you were 17, 18, they were like, no, you can't see him.
Yeah. That's wild.
Because the more you tell someone no, the more they want it. It's other things too, you know?
Yeah.
It's a backfire.
You have to give people a little bit inner of rebel independence. Because it just, yeah, it absolutely backfires. You mm-hmm. can't feel like you can, like children aren't puppets.
When you were in Catholic school though,
mm-hmm.
would the nuns and stuff get mad at people?
I mean, yes, but not for
like talking about boys and stuff like that? Or no?
Not so much that, because I feel like we weren't super overt about it.
Yeah.
Also, till eighth grade, it was co-ed, and then I went to all girls.
Oh.
So it's not like the nuns could oversee.
Caught. No one got caught snogging in eighth grade? I feel like, yeah, it was me.
Yeah, it was me on the playground. No, I don't. I feel like I wasn't really like into boys when I was in eighth grade. I was very much
I feel like when we were younger, people didn't really think about it as much. I feel like now younger people think about that stuff more.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
What changed, you think?
I don't know. It's like people are like, want to be older faster.
Mm. Do you think it's social media?
I mean, that's probably a big part of it. And also like everything's digital, so it's easier to connect
mm-hmm.
clandestinely.
And like compare and yeah.
Right?
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Because you can keep everything secret.
Yeah.
Too.
Or you can't because everything is online.
What do you mean? Like text messages and stuff?
Mm.
You know, or DMs.
Mm.
Those are all clandestine.
True.
So you can be like messaging a boy.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I remember being on like AIM. Messaging boys.
Right? Like your whole high school is like in the group chat.
Mm-hmm. You're just on Slack.
Then if by accident. I don't know what to do.
But that's on the parents. Like I feel like, yes, you don't want to lie to it's your parents, fair. But they're not also being reasonable and supportive.
Because then if the soft launch fails or backfires, right? So it's like planting the seeds like, oh, I think I like him. And they're like, then you can't see him anymore.
Well, at least it was a soft launch.
So they don't know the full story.
Yeah. What would you do, Matt? I'd do a soft launch. I'm very much like, I don't test think I would, out the water.
I wouldn't say anything. I would.
Yeah. Secret little.
I would wait a year.
Mm.
When I was like, I think she's like 17, 18. Like mm-hmm. wait a year till you're a little older.
Mm-hmm.
And see if he's still around. If he's kind of tell them, be like, mom, I'm 19.
He's worth the trouble.
Like, people my age have kids.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't tell me I can't date someone.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a good person.
Yeah, yes. Like I'm an A+ student. I have all these things. I have this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I feel like a lot of times parents are like, you can't have a significant other because you have to focus on school. But then if the person is healthy for you, it could actually help you be better at school, you know, because you're more supported
mm-hmm.
in like a different way and you can like study together. You could do, you know.
Yeah.
There's stuff like that that can make it so you're not, it's not a distraction. It actually, it's more of a supportive thing.
Yeah. It almost seems like the parents are creating a problem that's not even there yet if she is a straight A student and mm-hmm. has all these achievements.
I mean, what happened to the parents' lives that made them feel this way?
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
That's the real question.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a reflection on everything is a reflection on each person.
I say don't tell them. Maggie says soft launch.
Soft launch. I was a very rebellious teen in comparison to my oldest sister. My oldest sister was very, I feel like I felt like I was the older sister. Like I got my permit first because my sister went off to college to a town that like didn't require a driver's license and she just wasn't interested in doing it as soon as I was. So I was like, I want to drive. I want to date boys. And my parents are like, what's going on with Maggie? She's so crazy compared to my older sister. Mm-hmm. Why is she so crazy? So my youngest sister always thanks me. She's like, thanks for breaking down the barriers. I was like, yeah, I was seen as like a little devil child because, yeah, but I empathize.
Yeah.
Soft launch, chaos monster.
So delusional parents. Okay. Okay. Here's our last write-in of today.
Okay.
To close out our delusion. How to be self-delusional.
Okay.
I'm a 23-year-old queer lady currently in grad school in the mental health field. I live in a city in the Northeast near my college, and I moved states for my graduate education from a smaller suburban area. Even though I'm a mental health clinician in training, I have had my own mental health struggles for my entire life, and I'm diagnosed with generalized anxiety and major depression. Mm-hmm. I've been regularly seeing a therapist for psychotherapy since I was 10, having my medication managed by a psychiatrist or NP for just as long. Mm. Yeah. I'm writing in because I'm reaching an age where I just feel too old to begin my love and sex journey. I crave romance and intimacy, but my anxiety gets in the way of forming connections. And because romantic connections are something I've never experienced before, I feel like I can't get past the hurdle of going on a date for the first time. Mm. Realistically, I know I've done things scarier, more anxiety-inducing than going on a first date, but I'm just really stuck. I'm on all the apps, like Tinder, Bumble, and Feld, F-E-L-D. Have you heard of that one?
Fields.
Never heard of that one.
I've heard of that one.
Fields? How do you say it?
Fields.
Fields?
Yeah.
Never heard of it. We're learning new things today. Like Tinder, Bumble, and Fields, and I'm also struggling with finding folks that I'm attracted to. So I'm curious, how old were you when you had sex for the first time? How do I get past these mental hurdles? And what are some ways I can meet folks for romantic connections other than apps as a person with generalized and social anxiety? I would also really like Rainey's take. She seems like an anxious girly.
And that's true.
Called out. I mean, I love that she's getting a lot of support.
I feel like it takes a little practice too when you know that you're anxious about something and you're starting off doing it more. It's almost like you have to get into a groove and see kind of what works. Yeah. Because like people are different.
Right.
Like some people that you're going to jive with and you're going to feel really comfortable. And there's some people that, I don't know, the vibes are just off. Yeah. And like, that's okay. Because they will find their group of friends and people
there's
that they date.
For everyone.
There's someone for
there's
everyone.
There's literally someone for everyone. And I just want to say it's never too late. Like I hate when people are like, I feel like I'm too old for this. Like I'm too late. She's not even that. She's 23.
Yeah.
She's 23 and she's saying that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The world is ahead of you.
Too old. Like I had a friend who lost her virginity at 30. Okay. So I mean, she's doing fine.
I know someone who's 32.
Yeah.
Still has her virginity.
Yeah.
Virginity is a construct, but you know what I mean?
Like, who wasn't sexual until she was 30. So it's kind of like, it's never too late.
Yeah.
You know, you could be 50 and it'd be your first time. Who cares? Like, I hate how people timestamp things with their age because it literally doesn't matter. People find success in different areas at different times in their life. And I think that's totally fine.
Yeah.
So also don't put the pressure on that you feel like you have to, like you're in the pressure cooker at 23
and you
be married.
Are in a rush to be quote unquote experienced because that just is a load of garbage.
No one cares about that.
No.
No. No one cares about that.
Yeah.
So take that pressure off yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that'll help. Or how do you meet people on apps when you're, what did she say?
23.
Other than apps. Yeah.
Other than apps.
Or what's your first line? If you're on an app, what do you, what's the first message you send?
Mm-hmm. Yo.
You gotta have, yo.
Ooh.
Yo.
And that's it.
Would you respond to someone if someone said yo to you?
It depends on their profile for sure.
Yo. I would absolutely not respond. I feel like, is it?
What about, hey, yo.
When I was on dating apps, I liked Bumble in that you had to like respond to a prompt first, which was fun because you kind of have the power.
How do you feel about someone like sending you a quote?
Depends on the quote. Are we talking like a biblical quote or talking like Winnie the Pooh? Like, what are we?
I mean, I guess that does depend. Yeah.
Quotes can be anything.
What if it was a smut quote?
Oh my gosh. It was like an excerpt from a book.
From the priest.
Ghosted. Ghosted.
No, like I don't know. Like, this is my favorite quote.
It depends on the quote, Matt. Tell me.
Live long and prosper. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm like looking for someone who's on par with Home Goods in 2019.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love.
Marriage. I don't know. What were your... start like on the apps?
I can't say that I mastered it because Zach and I did not meet online. Yeah. So,
but you liked talking about like not just like hey yo, you were like
hey yo,
you were like
hey,
prompted by something to make to do like a specific response.
Did you curate it per person or did you have a generic?
I don't think I had a, I wasn't on like, I didn't talk a lot on them, so paste? I didn't think I had to get, I don't think I had like a formula.
You didn't, do you copy and paste, Rainey?
You sometimes you have to, because otherwise it's like, I mean, I don't know if you have to. I don't have any success on it, so I don't know. But I'm just like, sometimes it's just like, oh my gosh, this is grueling, you know? Yeah. Like, I just have to send something and see if they're funny.
So do you go back to certain conversations that you've had with certain people and you're like, copy, paste?
And sometimes, or what did I, what have I done? I've done like going to Whole Foods, want anything?
Oh,
or something like that. Okay. I think I got that from a show.
That's kind of fun. Going to Trader Joe's, what's your favorite snack?
Yeah.
Go.
Wow. I mean, the Trader Joe's snack actually is pretty good.
That is a good one. Yeah. That is a good one.
Yeah.
I feel like I would actually respond to that.
I feel like you can tell like, a lot by a person.
You have to get the, you know.
What is your favorite Trader Joe's?
Actually, so my favorite thing at Trader Joe's.
Here we go.
Is they have frozen gnocchi.
What's that?
They're like the potato pastas.
Oh, okay. Huh.
And it, because it's like the, well, they don't even call it a pasta. They call it like actually potato. Mm. In Italy, they don't even call it pasta, but it's with like a red sauce basically, and it's frozen. So you literally just like put it in a skillet and like heat it up, and it's so good. It's so quick.
Yum.
Mm. What about you?
So I'm
are we talking frozen? Or are we talking like snack?
I say one of each.
Ooh, okay. I really love, obviously, the chili lime chips.
Yeah, you do love those.
Those are so good.
They're good.
The one, the closest Trader Joe's to me is constantly sold out. So I think it's hyper. It's always sold out, but I've gone to other Trader Joe's and they're just like on the shelves. So it's just really frustrated me. And I feel like my obsession has grown more because I actually have to work for it and go to other Trader Joe's to find them. Because clearly the population around me also likes them. I think that they went viral on TikTok at first. Okay?
Probably.
And I enjoyed them before they went by. So I was really upset for a little bit. In the frozen aisle, I really like their hash browns. Hash browns are like my comfort food. Crispy. You just throw it on the skillet too. It heats up very quickly.
Oh, so good.
So
for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I love chips. I'm a chip fiend.
You are.
But chips aren't healthy for you, you know? But Trader Joe's has these like lentil chips.
Ooh.
Would love to have like some cumin on them. Mm. So it feels like they're healthier because you're eating lentils.
Yum.
Right? Got to try them. It gives you the crunchy satisfaction, but it's not like the, you don't get as much satisfaction as like a Lay's potato chip. You know?
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, because you're a potato chip, not tortilla. How do you feel about tortillas?
I do like tortilla chips, but if I had two in both of them in front of me.
Potato.
Yeah.
Potato. That makes sense. Rainey, what's yours?
Ooh, okay. First of all, my grandpa was like, I want to go to Trader Joe's and show you all my favorite snacks. And I was like, that's so cute. We have to be filming that. I think... Okay, first of all, love the little ice cream cones, the mini ones.
Those are so good.
Mm-hmm. And also they have this like, it's not the best, but it's like such a bargain. A giant like family sized lasagna for like $6 or something.
Oh.
So sometimes I get that as
yum.
A treat. Yeah.
Yum.
That's great.
I'm trying to think of the hatch mac and cheese too. I really like.
Yum.
Spicy.
Mm-hmm. They have really yummy coffee creamer that I just started using.
Pumpkin.
It's like a brown sugar oat milk. It's like this big. I've been making lots of coffee at home lately, and that with like a little bit of sea salt on top.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a barista.
You are a barista. You're always making coffee drinks. You wear all your matcha kick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I made rose syrup.
You're going to be a barista soon. I can see it.
Yeah.
You're going to have a whole setup at home.
I know. I want to have like a, well, there.
You should do that. You should do like.
I want to do coffee shops.
Yeah, you should do
and
like.
And just invite everyone over, yeah, but you're out like of town so
you
much.
You should just
so.
Do it like once a month and be like.
Coffee shop.
Everyone come over.
I have to like bulk prep though, because I'll get yeah. really stressed as soon as people arrive. I'm going to put you behind the thing so I can actually talk to people.
I can do the
people.
Espresso.
Yeah.
I'm good at that. I know
maybe
how to
we
do the
need like
machine.
A I only, yeah. Maybe we borrow your machine, get my machine. I'll make cold brew. I'll make iced tea.
Yeah.
And then
everyone's covered.
We'll tag team and just hopefully nobody orders something fancy.
But you have
though,
to have a,
that's when
you
I'll
have to
freak
have a
out.
Well, you have to have a signature drink.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have to have like a little
like
menu.
A two or three of them and then just like the basic.
Mm-hmm.
Like a latte, an espresso.
And all meat. My syrups.
Yeah. Starbucks. I think, Maggie Bucks.
Okay. I'll try and pull it off.
Maggie Bucks. That'd be fun. We can do it.
Okay. And all we can make like a couple pastries.
Postres.
Like a croissant.
That takes like a long time to make. You're really dragging this.
I'm really making it harder
a week
for
long
myself.
Process making the croissants.
Well, I don't
the...
want everyone to come over and have like empty stomachs and like be all acidic.
We're gonna
know?
Give them the chili lime chips, okay?
And coffee. Imagine that's all I have.
No, actually, there are.
I'll give everyone protonics too, because everyone's stomach's gonna right? be so sour.
I feel like there are easy things to make, like cupcake size.
Ooh,
breakfast. Pastry stuff that's easy, just like
yeah.
put in the oven and like egg bites and stuff you can do at home.
They have the like the Pillsbury crescents.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Those are good.
Matt, come over.
Okay, let's Help do it. Me. We let's can do it. We can do a coffee weekend. Okay. Coffee shop.
I'll get us aprons.
Maggie Bucks.
I'll get us aprons. Okay.
That'd be fun. But we didn't finish answering our friend here.
Okay.
How I feel like we didn't answer how else to meet people besides on the apps.
I think you just need a little bit of patience and love for yourself, a little bit of confidence. Mm-hmm. And just like if you have time and you're not like in college or.
She's in grad school. She moved to a new place for grad school.
So you have limited time. But honestly, like doing if you can find a class or an activity and have mm-hmm. like a little bit of time, that's like a really great way to meet people.
Also, because she is a queer woman, I think it'd be great. Because usually campuses are kind of queer hubs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they have a lot of resources or clubs or events mm-hmm. or happy hours or that type of stuff where you just need to start mingling with people.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to find someone that you want to date there.
No.
But make friends because those friends have friends or those friends will invite you to other things. So it's like you have to start the chain reaction now because meeting this one person will let you to like, you know.
Meet more.
Meet your person later on. Like, think about Zach. Zach probably wouldn't have been at the Abbey that one night if he wasn't friends with Eugene.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So because Zach was friends with Eugene, they developed this relationship. They went out.
Mm-hmm.
They were there that one night that they met you. Bam.
Bam.
That chain reaction had started years before.
Dynamite. You know? Fireworks.
Yeah. So I feel like you have to think about it that way is not...
putting so much pressure on yourself.
Have it now, 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 now.
And you have to get straight to that destination. Like yeah. there's little stops along the way.
You have to start the chain reaction now.
Mm-hmm.
So find groups, find people, events.
Mm-hmm.
Campuses are great resources because there's always stuff going on. There's talks, there's movies, there's so many places to yeah. meet people. And most times on campuses, people want to connect and talk to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not how it is a lot in the real world.
No.
You know, like the real world, people like,
you really have to
run away
seek
from
it
you.
Out.
They don't want to make eye contact yeah. with you and stuff.
Yeah, it's so true.
So, like being in school is like a huge advantage to network and meet people.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
stuff.
You're like working from home and like don't
yeah.
interact with many people aside from like Zoom meetings. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, university, grad school are great hubs mm-hmm. to meet people. And if you don't have that, look for different community pockets.
Yeah.
What is your most recent friendship? How did you form the connection? Was it through like a friend of a friend? Was it at like a social event? Were you?
I would say my most recent like close friendship
mm-hmm.
was actually Alex and Carlin
mm-hmm.
that I met at Miles and Sarah's wedding.
There we go. So like social settings.
Yeah,
through
it was
other
social settings. So it was like totally unexpected. We were at the wedding. Alex and I just like, we just had like a connection like right away when we saw each other. It was very weird.
Hmm.
It was like an energy thing. So we started talking and then we kind of hung out through the rest of the night at the party and stuff. And then we hung out after that and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah. Wow.
So you just have to start the chain reaction now.
Yeah.
That's how I would think about it. And that also takes the pressure off of like the anxiety of talking to like dates and stuff.
Yeah. I'm practiced talking to different people.
Yeah. Cause dates are, I mean, like when you're looking to date someone, it should be like someone, the person you want to date should also be a friend. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like in your relationship, they should also be a friend in your relationship.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, a lover, I guess mm-hmm. you could say.
Depending on what you're looking for, but yeah. Agreed. Yes.
So practice the friendship first. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck. Let us know how it goes.
And you got this.
Yeah, you got this.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode. We really appreciate it. If you have any more advice that you need, just want to send us a message. Our email is youcansitwithuspod@gmail.com. We love reading your questions, your advice. So yeah, be sure to wash your hands, be kind to yourself, be kind to others, register to vote in your local elections. And what else am I missing?
Tip your servers.
Remember to tip your servers.
Get
vaccinated. And we will see you next week.
Bye.